Thank you. magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Come, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Well, blessed be the rock of our salvation today. Appreciate the Lord and just being here to be a voice in the kingdom of God. Just to be able to lift my voice and say that he's worthy of all our praise that we give him. Thinking about these good lessons and Bible study and trying to get this in our hearts. That's what this is all about. I was thinking that scripture Brother Smith was going over last Sunday about we're laboring, you know, to enter into his rest. And one of the ministers in this meeting was talking about, you know, if we don't get this in our heart, you know, that's the whole thing. And that's what Paul's saying, you know, that that God's word, his law, you know, we're so eventually, you know, he said, put it in our hearts. And then another place it said, write it in our hearts. So it's got to get in our hearts. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Yeah. It's got to get in our heart. And I was thinking about all that we do. You know, we come to church. We talk about the things of God. We fellowship with each other. And we worship God. We lift our voice. We shout. And we all that we do, I was thinking, God, help us to see that we, whatever we can do, you know. You know, I know God does most of this work, but then there's some part of this we do. And that's the part that I like to try to find out, Lord, what am I doing? What am I supposed to do? You know, I can't put stuff in my heart. I can't write this in my heart except by being a willing vessel to let God be still enough. You know, God tells us to be still sometimes to let him talk to us. And I know that part, you know, what part that I'm playing in this walk with the Lord. And that's the part that I want to understand and realize. What part am I playing? You know, God, you know, some people put it all on God. But we don't put it all on God. You know, they're saying that all you have to do is confess your sins. And from now on, you know, they say walk the straight, turn right, and keep straight. But, you know, that's okay. That sounds good. But we know it don't all rely on what God is doing. He's doing most of it. But then some of this is in our hands. You know, some of this work is depends on us. And that's the part that I want to work on is trying to find out what am I supposed to be doing? How much of this is up to me? You know, I know a lot of it is up to God, but some of it is up to me. And that's what, you know, it may just be, I remember Brother Tucker saying, if something about 10%, you know, most of that God doing this, but it may be a small percent. But even if you don't have the 10% done, when the bell is rung, is when the roll is called, you know, if I only got 10% to do, and when the roll is called, if I hadn't done that 10%, like the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. You know, I don't know how much of that the one that was foolish, I don't know what percentage they was supposed to do, you know, of the work that was supposed to be done, how much of it they were supposed to do. Whatever it was, they didn't have it done. And they were trying to get it from the wives and tell them to give us your oil. And they said, no, we can't do that. But anyway, that's what I'm working on. I want to know, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? How much of this am I supposed to be doing? And that's what, you know, is on my heart, is that we're going to have to get this in our heart somehow. We're going to have to work with God at some to, I know he's doing most, like I said, most of it, and to help us to eventually get this in our hearts. And I know that, like, God, if he has your heart, like somebody said, if God has your heart, then he got your money, you know. If he got your heart, then he got you. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying not just for money, but I'm just saying, I just use that. But that's what it is, you know. When you're working for God and you're doing his bidding, and it's not a problem. You know, like my wife said, my brother minister said that you should already have made your decision. When the time comes to make a decision, you should have already had it made. Before that time, before you approach the time to make the decision, it should have been already made. You know, a lot of things about God, you know, we're talking about, Brother Different One talked about, you know, Wednesday night or whatever night it is. They don't have to decide, you know, are we going to church? Decisions are made, you know. So, some of these things about God, you know, we're going to have to already have this decided. You know, I've decided. We sing a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then once you make that decision to follow Jesus, then when, you know, there may be some obstacles that's going to be in your path and some things going to come in your way. But you already decided that. You know, so regardless of the obstacles, things that come about, you know, you've already decided. You know, you're going to follow Jesus. So when the things come about, you say, okay, I know this has happened, but I already said it. I'm following Jesus, okay? So those things that happen, you just, you know, so that's part of life, and you go on anyway. And that's how you do that, and I appreciate that. I've learned that among this people, you know, how to be dedicated to the Lord and be faithful, you know, all those things with God. And I think that's part of it's 10% or whatever that percentage is, that's part of it, is being faithful and also having your mind made up as whether you're going to go with God or not. And that's some of the things that some of it I may be still trying to do. Some of it I'm doing, but some of it I'm still probably trying. And no matter how you word it or how you say it, you know, it's, your action really speaks it, you know, whether you're doing it or not. Sometimes just like somebody said, put your money where your mouth is, you know. A lot of times you can talk, you know, but, you know, let's do it, start doing it. So anyway, I'm so thankful today and that we're just, you know, here to serve God and learning about his kingdom, the sacrifices that were made for us to even have an opportunity to hear these truths. I just, when I think about the Lord, that Jesus made the sacrifices, that he was born with a nature that we have, and yet, of course, he had God with him all the way, but he still had this nature to deal with. He still, like Brother Smith said, had a free will. You know, he still could have, you know, he cried. I mean, that's what somebody pointed that out in Luke, that Jesus cried with tears, you know, of blood. I mean, he cried hard. It was against his will. I mean, really, what he was doing for God was against his will. But he's an example for us that he didn't yield to that. Although he cried, although it was with heart, you know, tears that be able to, you know, he said that at a time that, you know, Lord, let this cup pass from me. It was against his will. And that's what we're doing. You know, this is really against our will. And we are learning to not do our will. We're learning to do the will of God. And that's what he did. His walk was I don't know how many times he said it, but he said that, you know, I'm not here to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that's what we're learning to not do our own will. And then God allow us to do things sometimes that's, you know, that's nice, good things that we're doing, you know, that's some pleasure in this life, but ultimately we are to be willing to give God our will and do what he wants us to do. So I'm just, you know, just having that knowledge to know that. To me, it's good. It's a blessing to even know, you know. I could be deceived. I could be thinking, you know, that I'm just sitting here waiting on the rapture or waiting on God to come back and get me. You know, you get people that visit your door, I'm sure, that talked about it. You know, I don't know. I guess you could just tell them, you know, say, I'm not ready. I did that one time, and it didn't work too good. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wondered about that. Sometimes you just get up and just We had a brother in our church one time got up in a truck stop and just started, I don't know what all he was singing, but anyway, he got the people's attention. Y'all remember that? But anyway, sometimes you might feel like, you know, cause I meet with my family and they're good people, they're church people and all, but we're not just to know that we love God, that's good, but we want to make it. We want to be in the bride. You know, you don't hear that talk out there too much, being in the bride, so we talk about that here. And we know that there's a calling that God has that we can measure up to if we want to. If we want to get that in our heart to measure up to the calling that God has for. God has a calling for his people, and that's what I was thinking when we were at that camp meeting. You know, this is God's people. And look, I'm a part of them. You know, I've been blessed to hear these truths and to be able to know that there's a people that God is dealing with, God's people. And I'm blessed to be a part of it. And that's, I'm so thankful today to be a part of what God is doing. We sing a song about people of God. There's a song that's called, I think it's called People of God. And that's what, you know, we are to be, a people that God is dealing with. I like to look around and just be thankful, you know, that God's hand is on this people, have been, and for a long time. And I see that. And that's what we can look through the Bible, where God had a people, you know, when even the natural Israel, you know, God's people. And no wonder when Brother Smith was talking about Jesus coming from the, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Levitical priesthood. I was thinking, you know, when he was saying that had he come through the order of the Levitical priesthood, the mother tribe wouldn't have had a chance. You know, if he came through the Levitical priesthood, they would have been so lifted up. I don't know. I mean, I was thinking that myself, you know, but he didn't do that. You know, the Bible said he came outside of the camp. So he didn't come through that order, but he came through another order, and Paul said no father or mother. You know, they couldn't put their fingers on, their hands on his origin altogether, the way he came. So anyway, it's just something about human nature when you say this is mine, and that's what I was seeing in him not coming through that the natural tribe that God had in the land. They would have had so much possession on him until he might not have been able to accomplish what he was here to accomplish. Had he had come through the Levitical priesthood, because it's just in the nature of man to have a spirit of possession on things. You know, I mean, I have it too. I mean, just like everybody. I mean, this is mine, you know. Leave it alone. But anyway, you know, that's the nature of man. But God didn't bring him through that. And then he was born in, you know, what, the tribe of Judah? You know, I mean, it was, you know, and I said, why was he born there? But anyway, think about it. I mean, God knows what he's doing. I mean, God knows exactly what he's doing. So I'm just so thankful that I can see some of the things that God is doing, and I get to be a part of it. And I'm so thankful today to be here and to hear good things from God and to feel the Spirit of God and to feel that he's with us. He's helping us. So anyway, we're here today, and we're to pray. We got needs. Brother Smith's mother is in need of prayer. You said she's in the hospital. In the hospital. So let's remember Sister Smith. Pray for her. Pray that God will touch her. And then I know we got other needs. I'm trying to think of anybody else have? Brother and Sister Crow. Pray for them. Just not able to get out. Remember them. Pray that God will help them. Give Brother Brian. Brother Larry Brown.
And Sister Karen and the children.
The Craftons are supposed to be late.
They're coming late.
They stopped. His mother was going to come to church today, but she wasn't feeling like it, so they're visiting with her just a little bit. But coming on.
All right. Brother Mike, Sister Julie.
Who? Paul David.
Paul.
Supposed to be here
supposed
later.
Supposed to be here. Remember
that. Is Sister Holly working today, you think? Anyway, let's remember Sister Holly and Paul, Brother Paul David.
I remember them. Sister Ann. Your dad, Sister Ann's
yes.
dad. Remember him. Still in the hospital, Sister Ann? Okay. All right. Remember Sister... Okay. Remember Sister Ann's dad. Pray for him. Pray. Be late. All right. Remember that, Nate? All right. Sister Fulton. Donovan? Wow. Okay, remember Donovan. Sister Renata. Oh, all right, Sister Renata's brother. Good to see you, brother. I want to say Trent. Yeah, man, that's a T. Oh, God. Yeah. Good to see you, have you here today, brother. Brother Doc. All right, Brother Dotson. Remember him. Section. All right. All right. Anybody else? Good. Brother Mike is better. Good that he's taking a day at a time, I guess. I don't know. Pray for him. Keith. All right. Brother Keith. Remember that. All right, so let's all.
For Brother Johnson.
Brother Johnson and his wife. Remember him.
He remembers that.
Beth. Brother Painter. Okay. All right, brother. Remember that. So, summertime is up on us. Remember the people traveling, different things. Okay. Let's. Take these needs to the Lord, and ask that God will help his people. Lord, we thank you this day, oh God, for your blessing. Lord, we ask that you help each one. Oh God, touch each one. Lord, these requests that's been mentioned this day, Lord, thank you for each request, for each need. That you help them. Let your hand be upon your people. Praise your holy name, O God. Lord, help your people. To sustain, Lord, help God. Oh, Jesus.
All these things.
Glory, glory, glory. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Merciful Savior.
Not make an announcement.
There's plenty of food today to eat. They had to clean out the freezers for the meeting that's coming up to make room, so there's plenty to eat. So everybody stay and eat dinner today. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for his goodness to us. These good songs, I hope that everyone in here has decided. You know, it is something to finally know within yourself that I have made a decision to serve God and be a part of God's people. And that's, you know, and then to get settled in that. We're living in a difficult time, I think, as far as the world, the condition of the world. I think it's hard to find people that are really hungry for God and really want to dedicate their lives to the Lord. It's one thing just to, you know, want to get your conscience soothed or, you know, to feel like you're okay, but it's another thing to really be hungry, to want more of Him, to want to really understand the purpose of God. You know, I mean, I know that you don't have to know very much about the Lord to feel His presence, to feel Him dealing with you. And I think that's marvelous that God can touch us in a way that we can be in a service and you can feel God's presence, you can feel your need of God, and even in so much that you can make initial commitments to begin to reach out to Him and feel Him reaching back to you, saying, God, I need you in my life. I know that. Even though you may not fully comprehend all that you need to know about God. It's a progressive thing. It's a progressive operation in your life to learn of Him and to understand His purpose for creation, His purpose even finally coming right down to your life. Trying to figure out what you're doing here. Like Brother Tally said, where do I fit in this thing? And then, as the song says, who am I that a king would live and die for? How did God reach down and touch me, an individual? That He's, you know, I stepped out this morning early, looked up in the sky, and I said, what a God. I thought, look at all of this. And we just, you know, I mean, we just step out in the day, and there's the sky, the clouds, the creation. I looked out. We've got a large front yard, and so I bought a what is that thing called? Let me think here a minute. I bought some chickens, but I bought a chicken. What do you call that thing, Brother Mark? Yeah, a chicken tractor. And the concept of it is that it's only about, you know, 4 foot wide like that. And it's got two handles here. And it's a box, a rectangle box built about this high off the ground with chicken wire all the way around it. And chicken wire on top. Then on one end, there about that much of it is built on top of that. a house for them to go into and roost. And it's got wheels on one end, and you can pick it up like a wheel bar and move it. Every day you can move it a little bit, and that gives them new grass. Chickens love to graze. And, of course, your eggs are a lot better if they can get out and graze and scratch. So they built this thing where you can, you know, you pick it up and move it every day, and they've got new grass, new place to graze. And I've got 7 hens and a rooster in my chicken tractor. But I got tired of moving the thing. In my yard, it's so sandy loam that it gets bogged down, and it's hard to push sometimes. So I finally just built about 80, 90 feet across the front of my yard and built them a chicken yard. And I put the tractor in there, Brother Daniels. So I don't have to move them. They've got a little plank, a little ladder that they crawl up to go into the roost. But I just looked out this morning at the sky and all the green trees and God's creation and looked at those chickens running around out there. There's not a blade of grass in their chicken yard. I mean, I turn them out every day. In the afternoons, I turn them out about 2 or 3 o'clock and just let them, then they'll go back. When they go to roost, I go out and lock up their yard at night before I go to bed. If you're wondering, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I do have electric wire around my chicken yard so that the varmints don't get in there and get my chickens. So if you come over to my house, be careful about touching my chicken yard fence because you might get shot. Anyway, I'm just looking at them chickens, you know, and I just thought, how could a God in heaven even think about something like them chickens? And then human, man, and all of God's creation. I thought, what? You know, like the Bible says, a fool says in his own heart, there is no God. I thought, my Lord, how could you even think that there's a bang, you know, this thing just started somewhere. I've often said that anybody that believes that this thing just happened, you know, that'd be like believing that a big wind blew through a junkyard and just bang, a 747 appeared out of all that junk. You know, I mean, to think that something as intricate as this creation of God and all that we've been, you know, working on in the last few months, even the creation, you know, that first day that there was light, it was in the morning and the evening. There was some kind of temporary light there before God made the sun and the moon and the stars. When was it? The fourth day when he did that, he made the sun and the moon, the greater and lesser light and the stars. It looked like maybe that's when God put this thing into orbit. You know, that's when our galaxy was maybe created. I don't know if he just had this thing out and holding it out. I don't know how God did all that. But it's just amazing, you know, that all of these thousands of years this world has been orbiting the sun and our galaxy and everything in it is timed perfectly. If it got out of time, it would blow up. I mean, our world, this earth, if it got out of time with God's, with the orbit of our galaxy and the orbit of the sun and the moon and the axis of the earth. We're turning. This earth is turning. Somebody help me. We was looking at that recently. How many? It's thousands of miles an hour. that the earth is turning on its axis. Then we're orbiting around the sun several thousand miles an hour. Every 24 hours we go around it. And you can't even feel it. You know, God fixed gravity. What would happen if something messed up the gravity, Brother John? We'd be slinged out into space somewhere, I guess. Slung. If you're from Arkansas, it's slanged. If you're a language teacher, it's probably slung. Sling. He's moving it into tenses. Anyway, what a God. And then to think that in all of this, even if he created man, and you and I are part of God's creation, how fast are we turning on our axis, Brother Matthew, the earth? Yeah, it's crazy. We were talking about that recently, and he looked it up. But and then here God put creation and nature in effect. And you and I are products of the natural progeny of humankind, mankind. I mean, God didn't have to one day say, you know, I think I'm going to make another little boy or another little girl. He didn't do none of that. It just happened. Nature took care of that. But in all of that, some way, God, if you have some hunger, if all of this creation causes you to wonder, And you begin to search, you know, if faith, nature, just God's creation itself can create faith. That you have to believe that somewhere, and then of course, the environment you come out of has a lot to do with it. There's people, and you're well aware of this, that they don't believe in God. Some never even heard of Jesus in this world. There's people that yet haven't heard about Jesus. There's people that's been raised up in other religions that have been taught that this Jesus, and that's all they really know about, that Jesus is this religion of Christianity is a false religion to them. And they've been taught all kinds of different things. But in all of that, some way, God touched you and me. Some way, God was able to reach down and touch our lives and make us aware of his existence, and then for us to have a hunger for God. Jesus said, no man comes unto me except my Father draws him. How, you know, there has to be a drawing. There has to be a, God has to be dealing with you as an individual to get you to a place where you want to know more about this. You want to know more about God. Like Brother Tally said, where do I fit in this? What's my place in this? Well, I'm going to tell you, the more you learn about him, the greater your place becomes, and the more you become aware of what he really did in creating all of this and his purpose in it and how you can fit in it as an individual with all of this, the intricacies, all the details of it, that it can just narrow down to the very detail of you yourself and how God wants to fit you into it. And that's his purpose for it all, is that he would have a family. Not that, I said in Bible study, God, he's not interested in you doing just what he wants you to do. He's interested in you developing to a point that whatever you do, it's done right. It's done righteously. That's what righteousness is. It's just doing things right. To look at this scripture in Hebrews, we read it in Bible study in the fifth chapter. Brother Talley quoted the verse. Let's see. In Hebrews 5, and the last verse of Hebrews 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now that tells you, you got to grow to a certain place to get to a full age. This isn't talking about just getting old. Because you don't ever get to a full age. When you die, but how do you know, that's not what this is talking about. But a full age is coming to a place of maturity in God in this process we're talking about. Even those who by reason of use have their senses. Sense of feel, sense of sight, sense of touch, sense of hearing, and tasting. That you can exercise your senses to discern both good and evil. And you finally have grown to a full place that you know how to do right. You know what's evil, and you know what's good, and you know how to choose the good. You've grown and developed to a place. You've gained wisdom, and you only get that through God. It gets difficult. I'll just use a modern term. This gets hairy. It gets complicated. To be able to discern have you ever gotten a predicament where you thought, now, what's right here? I'll give you an example as a minister. Some of the difficult things that's happened in this world. We pretty much always as Christians would say, just living together in fornication's wrong. Bible's clear on that. You need to be married. But we're living in a world now where, and you got to go back to when God started marriage. There wasn't a legal marriage as far as man was concerned. No man's paperwork. You didn't have to go down to the courthouse and get a license. And all of these things have come about through time and culture and man's laws. But now, I'll give you a case where I had a man and a woman that this man's wife died of cancer, and this woman's husband died. And this woman's husband retired with the company, and she got his retirement when he died. And as long as she lived, she would draw that retirement. But if she married, she'd lose it. It was hers, but if she ever married another man, she couldn't marry and keep that retirement. That retirement was to provide her, give her provision, but she couldn't keep it if she married again. So the man, his wife died, and he was just a farmer, and he owned quite a bit of land and cattle. But when she died, he had to start selling off nearly everything he owned to pay for her hospital bill, because she lived so long with cancer that her insurance wouldn't pay all of it, and it run up a great big insurance bill. And so he lost nearly everything he owned trying to keep her alive, and she finally died, and all he had was a Social Security check. Now this man and woman, both these couples were friends. So after the spouses died a few years later, him and her became involved. They got interested in each other. But if he married her, she would lose her retirement check. And all he had was a Social Security check that he was just barely getting by on. He had his home and a little bit of land and, you know, half a dozen cows or something, and he lived out in the country, and he could make it, but just barely. So they wanted to get married, but she couldn't lose that check because of man's laws. So they just decided, we'll just live together. And that bothered them. They wanted to do that right, but they didn't know how to do it because of man's laws. And if they had a preacher might have said, you gotta just forget all that and just go ahead and get married and lose. You're gonna have to pay the price. So they got married. I mean, they lived together. And about 2 years later, he died. And she would have gave up her retirement. So what's right? Where's the righteous answer for all that? Just show you a dilemma that preachers have sometimes. To give an answer. What's the righteous answer? Well, I won't tell you what I think the righteous answer is, because you might not agree with me. It don't matter what I'd say, somebody would agree and somebody would disagree. So I'll just let you live with your answer. I'm just telling you, it's complicated. It gets complicated. I'll ask you a question to throw into your mix of what you're thinking. Could we marry them in the church and leave the law alone? Forget about the law out there and just let them go ahead and let her draw her, you know, as far as the law was concerned, they wouldn't be married, but as far as the church was concerned, they would be. Could you do that? Would that be righteous? It's just a question. Anyway, God, do you know God has an answer for all this? He's righteous, and he's going to put His righteousness in your mind. That's the new covenant. Jesus came to this world. We've been studying on the book of Hebrews, and Jesus, this letter to the Hebrews written in the New Testament was written to reemphasize to those Christians back there why Jesus had to come to this world. That man's fall into sin and this sinful nature was so great that God had to spend 4,000 years dealing with man to get him in a place where he could receive the full purpose of God's creating this world so that he could reconcile him back. And I think of Jesus coming to this world to reconcile us back to God and what he did to accomplish that. To me, it's amazing what God did. Why Jesus came to this world. Most people don't know why he came. They just think, most people just think Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the price so that your sins could... Here's what basically religion teaches, Christianity. It basically teaches that the law was too hard and nobody could keep it. So God sent Jesus to die on a cross for your sins, so he could forgive you, so you could go to heaven. That's the basic teaching, which is really I don't know how to say what that's a teaching of error. Jesus didn't come to this world because the law was too hard. In fact, what Jesus brought was greater than the law, but it would take more help from God to be able to accomplish what Jesus came to do. But you can. It can be accomplished in you. But you're going to have to embrace it. You and I are going to have to embrace what God sent Jesus to this world to do. He sent him into this world to take on this form of man, to suffer. Jesus, in fact, let me ask y'all a question that I asked my wife last week. I said, who is your father, God or Jesus? She said, well, sometimes I have a hard time knowing who I'm praying to. I said, who created you? Who made this creation? I said, Jesus created this world. He created Adam. I said, he's your father. See, he's called a father in the Bible. But there's a greater father than him. We've got a, I guess you could say God, Grandpa. but he's still a father. Michael's boy, Andrew, has got this, he's a little boy, my great-grandson. Y'all believe I got a great-grandson? And he calls, to all the grandkids, I've been Pawpaw all these years. I mean, they don't call me Grandpa, they don't call me Father, they just call me Pawpaw. And now this little boy, he calls Michael Paul, and he calls me Pawpaw, just like the grandkids do. I'm the same guy to him as I am to his daddy. I'm Pawpaw. I don't know. I guess my dad's alive. They'd call him Paul, Paul, Paul. I don't know. But just add another Paul. Well, God is the Father of lights. He's the Father. He's the invisible God. He's the source of life. He's the Father of Jesus. And we're born of the same Spirit, But don't get confused about putting Jesus in the place he needs to be. He's the Father of your salvation. He's the Father of creation. He is a father to you. He is your father. And God's even a higher father than him. I mentioned many places in the Bible when it's going through lineages, when it says so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son that he's the son of many places is his grandfather, or even a great-grandfather. It's just showing the father of that lineage. And so sometimes you have to look at that in Christ. But for Christ to come here, to leave his place in glory. But when I think of how great God is, and that he, all in what he did, he even done something for Christ, for his son. Because when he created Jesus, the firstborn of every creature, God, you need to get this in your head. God created Jesus, the first thing that was ever created, his son. How many of you know every son is a product of a father? Jesus is the firstborn. He's the first creature, the beginning of God's creation. God created him, and then Jesus created everything else that was created. Read the first chapter of Colossians, and it's very clear on that. God, he created him, and then Jesus created everything else. But Jesus didn't have a free will to just do whatever he wanted to do. He was created to do the will of God, his Father. And he had him do all the creating. But when God sent him to this world, he took on, even though he was God's son, reduced to a seed and placed in the womb of Mary, he took on human form and became mortal. He was mortal, subject to death, to be a human. To become a faithful high priest. To live here and know what you and I go through. To know what the free will. See, God is not interested in just taking your will and making you do what he wants you to do. He's interested in you blending your life with his life. To where everything you do is right, but he still wants you to be you. In fact, I think you can achieve, you know, more than you may achieve. I think that there's an availability of you expanding your abilities. There's also a possibility of you not having enough zeal to expand that. But what God wants is you to learn whatever you do, do it right. And do it within the realm. In other words, get me in on it. Make sure it fits into my overall plan for you and for my purpose. But I don't think God not wants you to be, he doesn't want you just to be a robot. He wants you to be you. He just wants you to learn righteousness in all that you do. But when Jesus came to this world, he took on this human form. And of course, God had a specific purpose for him. I think your purpose and my purpose could become more and more specific the closer we get to God. But he had a specific purpose in coming here. And when he took on the form of man, it changed him forever. Because he had a free will. And he had to channel that free will into the purpose that God called him to be. And when he overcame the sinful nature of man, he did it willingly. He did it voluntarily. And when he went back to heaven, he wasn't just a servant in being the highest creature that God made. But he was an overcoming, a human being that overcame the sinful nature. And still he was the highest creature that God ever made. But he developed in something greater, because it wasn't just a nature that he was created to do the will of God. He had a free will that he channeled and perfected in righteousness. He had ability. In heaven, he didn't have an ability to do whatever. But in this earth, he had an ability, but he was able to channel it, bring it into subjection, to make sure God was included in God's righteousness. Brought him to a full age. Hallelujah. And now in heaven, he's greater than he was when he came. And he also is a faithful high priest, a faithful mediator. He knows you, knows your situation. And he's willing to help you. My Lord, what a God. What a God. To bring us to a full place, a full age. Let's back up to the 12th and 13th verse of the 5th chapter of Hebrews, where it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God. It looks like that the writer here is... looks like that he's saying to these Hebrews, you ought to be further along than what you are. You shouldn't be struggling like you're struggling. Well, that hits me. I don't know if it hits you or not. But it hits me that, you know, if somebody asks you, are you doing everything that you know to do? Let me help you with that just a little bit. I've wrestled with this. You say, yeah, I know God has dealt with me. He's given me, he's assured me of my calling and of being saved and being righteous. And he's gave me truths that has illuminated my mind. And I know what he wants from me. And am I doing it all right, perfectly right? Well, I have to say no. I fail at times, you know. But let me help you some here with that. I don't care if God's quickened your mind. I don't care if you've had an understanding, a certain amount of understanding of what God called you to and what he's asking of you. He still knows that as you go through this life and the trials you go through, it's going to really test whether or not you're really established in those things that he has revealed to you. Just because it's been revealed to you don't mean you got it all into practice. And there's where you have trouble. It's not all put into practice yet. And God knows that. But I think every one of us could probably say, looking back, I could do better. And so this hits me where he puts this, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So, I don't know about you, but I can't put myself in the place of full age yet. But I'm hoping I'm chewing on some a little meat and not just drinking milk. I'm not just a baby, but I am developing and growing, and I'm learning how to digest this good word of God and become stronger in knowing and discerning more of what's right and what's not. But I am looking for that full age. I'm looking for that place. I'd like to achieve a full age. I'd like to be righteous in all that I do. And so you have to keep, you know, this scripture. Let's read it again in chapter 4. Let's back up in chapter 4 and look at verse 11. We mentioned it the last couple services. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Least any man fall after the example of unbelief. So we're all, you have to continue striving to enter into this place of rest. When God, the writer here mentions that God rested on the, he draws that parallel for you. Then on the seventh day of creation, God rested. He finished His work. That's what He's saying to you. You need to keep working to get this creation of Christ, righteousness of God that was in Christ, working in you. How do you do that? Well, it takes, number one, it takes a new birth. You have to be born of God. You have to be born of the nature that can develop this in you. You can't, the nature of Adam will never accomplish it. That's what the law did. Look, here's what the law did. The law said, okay, the law said you can't do this. You know, don't slap your wife. Don't slap your husband. Don't scream. Don't yell. Don't get in the wrong spirit, whatever it is. You know, God's working on us becoming a full age. This endeavor of marriage that God's given us. You know, what God gave us in that when He said, let no man put asunder that which God has joined together. God started this union between man and woman. And it's a picture between Christ and the church. And it's a picture of how you have to work to conform to the things of God. And when you get married, you have to work on a marriage. You have to work at it. You're in this together. I told Jesus this morning, I said, Lord, I want Your righteousness working in my life. I want it. I want You to continue to help me. I'm not going to give up. And I'm asking You to help me. And, you know, so there's things that I encounter that I have to ask Him about. And I have to try to find God's will in. And you have to do that. You have to do that in a marriage. You have to try to work on it. You have to stop and say, look, I can't keep reacting to what's happening here. You know, your life, when you get married and live a long time, you'll get to where you take one another for granted. You cut corners. You know, in other words, you know when you first got married, you're careful about how you treat one another, and you spend a lot of time. When your husband talks to you, you stop and give him attention. When your wife talks, you stop and get her attention. But as time goes on, you cut those, you take shortcuts, and you don't listen as well, and you got your mind going, and you've heard it before. You think you know what they're going to say, and if you're not careful, you can cut so many corners, you lose the flame out of your marriage. You lose the spice, and so you have to work on it. sometimes, every once in a while, I mean, my wife and I are no, we're not exempt. There's been times where we've had to sit down and say, look, we're going to have to make some changes. This thing's not working right. We're having difficulty. Let's talk this over. Let's figure out how. There's one time we sat down and I said, look, here's things that you're doing that I can't cope with. I can't cope with it. She said, well, let me tell you some things you're doing I can't cope with. I said, all right. I said, because I want our marriage to make it, and we need to work on some of this. So, you know, let's just get candid with each other and let's try, you know, not to try to hurt or run down or, you know, or condemn, but just really, I mean, let me consider what you're saying that I'm doing wrong. And then you consider what I'm saying, and then let's work on it. I'm willing to commit to you that I'll work on it if you'll work on it. And we've done that, and we've worked on it, and it works with God's help. That's the thing. You can't leave God out of it. You got to get God in this. You got to ask Him to help you, because I'm doing the same thing coming to church. I'm committed here, just like I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to serving God, and I have to work it out because I hit places that I don't. It's frustrating, you know. I used to get more frustrated than I do now, especially when, you know, when people leave. I know some of y'all are frustrated right now because a lot of people. No, a lot of people ain't leaving. There's just a few people, and there's reasons for it. You know, it's not because we've got big problems in our church. It's just because there's individual problems in their lives. There may be one family that had trouble with me, but I can't fix that for everybody. You know, I can't let somebody else run this. You know, I bend over backwards to try to work with people, but it used to bother me a lot more, but I'll just tell you how a church operates. There's everybody that's in a church ain't going to stay in it. Things happen. Everybody that's married ain't going to stay married either. There's things happen. But those of us that are here, we got to keep going. We just got to keep serving God. We got to try to do our best for everybody that's here. Got to try to treat everybody right and everybody good. We got to love everybody even if they do wrong. But we got to keep serving God. And so I've experienced this now for nearly 40 years. So, yeah, it bothers me. And I don't want anybody that comes to this church to leave, because we need everybody. We need more than what's here. We need that people added, but if you go back in your mind, you'll see where there's people added, there's people taken away. It, you know, people down through the years, there's people here that weren't here a few years ago. They're here now. There's people that was here a few years ago, they're not here now. I don't like that. But let me tell you how good God is and how you are to feel about it. They're God's children. It doesn't matter if they done wrong, left wrong, or if they're not, you know, or if it's just a personal reason that, you know, the job took them to somewhere else, family situations, where they had to, you know, they had responsibilities and families, but they still staying in the body of Christ. There's legitimate reasons. You still don't like it, but you still ought to love them. God loves them. If they're wrong, God's still going to love them. If they still keep serving Him, He'll still keep helping them. And that's how we have to feel about it. We have to feel like, God, they're your children, and everybody's not going to do like you think they ought to. God's got a big job, doesn't he? He's got a big job. But what a great Savior that we have that has all the wisdom of God. And he's working, and there is more available to you and I in his righteous plan that will bring us to full age if we'll keep serving him. Now, your part is to keep working to enter into this rest. The rest of it's up to him. Trust him. Trust him. He's well able to do his part. You don't know how or what lies ahead, but God knows how to get you out of every situation that you encounter. Even if you make mistakes to get in that situation, he still loves you enough to help you. You love your children, don't you? If they make mistakes, you still love them, don't you? And you still want to get them, you still want to lift them up when they're down. How much more does a God of grace care and love you and want to help you make it? What a Savior. What a Savior. Now, you know, there are situations. You can't love everybody. You can love everybody that comes into church, but you can't tolerate just any and everything. I asked Brother McGowan the other day, I said, if you was a shepherd and you had a little flock of sheep and you got a goat and you put him in there with them sheep and he started butting around on your baby sheep and maybe even killing one or two of them and started tearing up your fences and wreaking havoc with your little flock of sheep, I said, would you keep that goat? If you tried and tried and you couldn't cause that goat to do right, I said, you wouldn't be much of a shepherd if you didn't get rid of that goat. I said, so there's some things we can't tolerate in a church, cannot tolerate some things that will tear down the order of God, tear down the righteousness that we're working, that God's revealed to us that we're to build. That don't mean we steal. I'd steal, you know, if it was me, I'd try to find a goat farmer and say, hey, I need to get you to get this goat off my hands. I don't want to send him to slaughter. I'm having a hard time killing spiders, much less goats. Everything that's alive, I just hate to see death. Of course, pestilences I'm not having as much trouble with. But I do have a different feeling than I used to have. I mean, I seen a big old black and yellow snake yesterday crawl through the grass right out in my backyard. And I thought, he's not poisonous. He's probably going to do something good. Just let him go. Let him live. I just love life. And I just hate, I don't like death anymore. Praise God. See if dinner's ready. See, while you do it, I'll sing a song, Brother Michael. Where's Michael? Come play for me a song. Let me practice on y'all. Let me see if I can even, I think I know the words. I've never sang this song, I don't think, publicly, but I'm going to sing it to you. Maybe try B flat. When I think of how he came, try again, B flat. Of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, and on Mount Calvary took my place. Don't help me, okay? Because I want you to follow me. Where am I at? Then I ask myself this question. I? Oh, who am I that a king would plead and die for? Who am I that he would pray? Not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. And to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Fight my battles till they're won, for who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would plead and die for? Who am I that he would pray? Not my will, thine, Lord. Answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. And to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I that a king would live and die for? Who am I that he would pray? Not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know, why he reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Fight my battles until they're won, for who am I? Oh, who am I that a king should plead and die for? Am I that he would pray? Not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. And to an old rugged cross he'd go.
What's that?
third verse. I don't know that I know it. Put it up there for us. See if we can get it. Was it another verse? Okay, I thought I saw one up there. Praise God. All right, is dinner ready? It's ready? All right, let's say a prayer for the food and our fellowship. Service again at 5 o'clock. I didn't not want any help on the, not that I didn't want help on the song, but I had to get that tune in my mind. And, you know, I thought I'm going to, if I try to follow somebody else, I'll get off. I just got to find it. Anyway, thank you for your patience. All right, dear Lord, God, hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness to us. God bless our fellowship and our food. Your blessings, oh God, we're thankful for them all. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Amen, amen. All right. Band practice at 4 o'clock. Baby shower after we eat.